This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 14th episode of the AppForce1 podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and running the Dutch Cokeheads for over 7 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about otherwise. In this episode, I'm going to talk about avoiding SwiftUI's AnyView, how to check if text is truncated in SwiftUI, building Instagram profile screen with compositional layout, traits of a good accessible iOS app, what is at environment in SwiftUI, measurement unit dimension and measurement formatter on iOS, iOS interview questions and answers for senior developers, Donny Walsh's Monday morning tweet, the core data workshop by Donny supported by me, and Sam, the self-taught iOS developer who is working on getting his first position as a paid iOS developer. That's a lot to get into, so let's get started. John Sundell has an awesome article on how you can avoid the use of the AnyView. The AnyView can be used as a type erase wrapper to enable multiple view types to be returned from a single function or computer property, or to let us reference a view without having to know its underlying type. However, even though AnyView is very convenient, it is often best to avoid it as much as possible. In his article, John takes a look at two core techniques that can be used to help avoid using AnyView while still enabling you to work with multiple view types in a very dynamic way. Federico from 5 Stars blog has an article on how to check if text is truncated in SwiftUI. When you are displaying text of various lengths, your design needs to be clear on whether there should be a maximum number of displayable lines or if the full text should always be shown. Text doesn't always behave predictably. Sometimes the text gets truncated for no apparent reason, despite having plenty of space at your disposal. In his article, Federico has us take a look at how you can deal with all these scenarios and more. Filip Nemeček is on a roll the last few weeks with his articles on compositional layout. This week he has shared an article in which he explains how you can build an Instagram profile screen with compositional layout. The nice thing about this article is that it's a very hands-on overview of what you can actually achieve with compositional layout. Daniel Devesa, who's been a guest in one of my interviews, shares an article on traits of good accessible iOS apps. In this article, he gives an overview of what accessibility on iOS is and in what way you can actually achieve this. The article is a good overview and helps you remember why accessibility is in fact important and relatively easy to achieve. If you are wondering what at environment is in SwiftUI, look no further than Sarun's article on this specific topic. When writing an app, you might need to read a device setting or device environment to adjust your view or behavior to match the user needs. Examples of these values are current device locale, device current calendar, color scheme, and size classes. In UIKit, this information is scattered amongst a number of classes. In SwiftUI, most of these system-wide settings and variables are accessible through the @environment property wrapper. In his article, Sarun shares how you can use the @environment. Thomas Vater shares some information on a lesser-known class in Foundation, measurement formatter. Like the name says, it's used for creating localized strings of some sort of measurements. Measurements are represented by a generic struct measurement, where the generic unit type describes the unit represented by it. Apple provides a unit subclass dimension, which in turn has many subclasses on its own. In his article, Thomas explains what the measurement formatter can do for you and how you can use it. Natasha Vadiva has a nice write-up on iOS interview questions and answers for senior developers. It's a very welcome resource if you want to prepare yourself for your next job interview. Even though the article says senior, I think any software developer doing iOS can get a benefit from this series of articles by Natasha. Definitely have a look at it. And that concludes the news for this week. Let's go on with Donny's Monday morning tweet. I myself have nothing much to share. I'm recording a podcast today, and I'm launching a workshop with Donny Wells, actually. More on that a little bit later. Niv Ben-Porat is working on something, which is something, which is something. It's all redacted, but apparently Donny's posts helps him a lot. Filip Nemecek is still working on compositional layout and Diffable. It's a great article series he's creating there. Karan Bandia usually just shares what he wants to ship, a bug fix update or something else, but he also wanted to mention that there is something that needs more visibility. Basically, all HealthKit apps have been blocked from submitting updates for days. No fixes from Apple's side yet. This week, Lorenzo is finally going to learn a little bit more about unit testing. Marco has released a new version of Infected app with vaccination numbers. Andrew is implementing a CloudKit backup, and it seems to be a bit of a nightmare for a big nuanced project. Milo has attended an iOS hackathon organized by Cyril, Tikachu1, and it's called What the Hack, and people have made awesome projects. Marquan is looking forward to a job interview, so he is preparing himself for that. I wish you good luck, Marquan. And finally, Will is working on a new app, BPBot. BPBot is the easiest way to log, analyze, and learn from your blood pressure readings. So that's already some great stuff from people working in the community, and I look forward to read what people are planning to do next week. So now let's talk a bit about the Core Data Workshop by Donny Wells, supported by me. Donny and I recently had some contact after he has launched his book Practical Core Data. And we came to the conclusion that there probably will be a lot of people out there who are planning on reading the Core Data book or who have already read the Core Data book, who are looking for hands-on training to actually get started with Core Data. Core Data can be a very complicated topic if you don't know where to start. Of course, Donny's book already helps a lot, but if you want to have a fast track into using Core Data on your next project, or maybe even on your current project, definitely have a look at the Core Data Workshop by Donny. The format is very simple. Donny will do the training and I will be available to support you with any questions or problems that might arise during the training. And this allows you as a participant to have the maximum benefit of the workshop. It's a bit of an experiment for Donny and me. This is the first time that we work together on something so closely. We're having a lot of fun organizing this and we hope to see you on the workshop and have a lot of fun with you as a participant. More information on appforce1.net/coredata. As I already mentioned last week, I have something big planned for 2021. And to get this started, I have invited Sam to be a guest on my podcast on a more frequent basis. I will let Sam introduce himself.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for coaching me, first of all. So my name is Sam. I'm from New York in the US. I've been working on iOS for about a year, and I'm self-taught. I've taught myself through online resources and online formats, and I've taken a few courses, and I've been teaching myself Swift in practical ways by working on projects and things like that. At the moment, I work as a cook part-time to pay the bills. My goal for this year is to get my foot in the door at some sort of junior developer role.
As you can hear, Sam has come a long way, and he still has a long way to go. But my impression of him is that he's going to be someone who's going to make it, and I hope he can be an example for anybody out there who's looking to walk the same path as Sam. This whole ball started rolling when I did the interview with Paul Hudson, and Paul, at the end of our interview, laid down a challenge for anybody who was listening. Look at yourself, what you can do to help people. Don't just throw money at a problem, but do something. And you could consider this to be my small attempt at answering this call. Obviously, Sam and I have already done some coaching sessions together. One of the first things I recommended to him is to get started on reading the Pragmatic Programmer 20th Anniversary Edition. Because the first thing Sam asked me is, how can I, from knowing how to program, become a true software developer? Because being a software developer is a lot more than just writing code. And I think he was spot on with that remark. So I recommended him this book and he started reading. And what are some topics that really made sense to you?
One was the dry principle, don't repeat yourself, which I found interesting because I've taken a course before that. It was a take-home interview prep course that where you basically made a project from scratch, and it focused heavily on reusing components. And that's basically what that that principle is all about.
I asked Sam what the biggest challenges were when he got started with programming.
Trying to figure out, okay, what exactly do I need to learn? Where do I start? Where do I learn my first lessons from? What resources do I need to use? And basically, at every step of the journey, it's been that question repeated more or less. Because you finish one thing, and then what's next? Like, how do I further prepare myself for a potential future role? And I would say that was one of the biggest challenges. When you're teaching yourself things, it's and you have these questions, and you're not as involved with the community, it can be hard to find answers to your problems. So it's very important to reach out to people and say, hey, I'm new to this. Is there any advice you could give me? Things like that.
Sam and I discussed a lot of things that went all over the place. But the general idea I got was that all the things that we talked about basically involve, how do you know? How do you know what to do? How do you know where to look? And I think the biggest lesson that Sam already taught himself was to reach out, try and find other people and ask questions. And people who are changing careers into software development have a really hard time. So what you can do is reach back and help the people that are asking the questions. I hope to be able to share more clips of Sam and me talking to each other. We're still getting the hang of it, but I think in future we'll have more usable material that I can showcase in my podcast to help you help people in your own environment. If you have any feedback, please reach out to me on Twitter at AppForce1 or send me a message through SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/AppForce1. Talk to you next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.